BlogTalkRadio.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
We have a big lineup of guests for you this evening. We have Catherine Pacino, who, of course, is Al Pacino's stepmother. She's going to be on with us. We are going to have Paul Solomoff. He's a director, special effects individual, you name it. He's done it all. And also we're going to have a great interview with Jessica Solt. That's S-O-L-T. And, of course, that makes her famous because she's the daughter of the late, great, legendary manager in the WWE, Bobby the Brain Heenan. And she'll be talking to us about that tonight. So anyway, once my friends get aboard here, we will talk and have some fun. And basically, that's what we're going to do tonight. And usually at this time, I'd be doing updating everybody what everybody's been doing, then we'll talk to me. But since it's just me right now, I will I'll let everybody know what I've been up to. And of course, you know, last week I was involved in the Fargo Film Festival, which is really a great event. Happens every March. Next year they'll be celebrating their 25th year at the festival. A quarter of a century, ladies and gentlemen. That's 25 years. And I'm honored to say I'm part of it, and I'm glad that they let me volunteer for this great event. And I hope to continue for years to come with the Fargo Film Festival. I met a lot of great individuals, a lot of actors, actresses, directors, friends that have flourished a lifetime at this event, and I just love it. And I cannot wait to continue those friendships over the next several years as we speak. And I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, I do believe Matthias is here right now. Are you not?
Yep, I just walked into the studio for another show on 89.1 Ken's FM.
Well, good to have you, man. We missed you last week.
Yeah, it was. I was on a podcast, and I assumed it was only going to go 45 minutes to an hour. Well, it ended up going well over 2 hours, so that was the reason why I was not here last week.
So you were cheating on us.
Well, you know, I have this podcast that I frequently go on. I make an appearance on to discuss matches and stuff upcoming and set up rivalries. They told me it was only going to be, usually it only lasts about 45 minutes to an hour, and, well, they decided to bring a couple of co-hosts on that, you know, were big fans of mine, so all I wanted to do was talk about me, so I gave them the respect to do that. And then, yeah, it just ended up going longer than expected.
Well, that's all right, but you're here now, so we'll just have a little fun, and I do believe Scott Hand is on the line.
I am here.
All right. How you doing, my man?
All right. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, good. We got about 10 minutes here before our first guest calls in. That would be Catherine Coven Pacino. Cannot wait to talk to her about stuff that she's done, and being related to Al Pacino is going to be awesome. So,
absolutely.
What's been new with you, my man? What's new in the filmmaking front, as they say?
Well, what do you call it? You know, we're going to be taking Lycaon out to film festivals. I think I was telling you a little bit about that. We're getting to that point. The same thing with Five Losers on a Line. And We got a different little project brewing. I believe I kind of filled you in on our secret project that might be coming up in the next few months. So we'll be looking forward to that. And hopefully that will lead on to even bigger and better things, you know?
Well, you know, I'm really looking forward to see Lycan be a great success. And I don't know how much in detail you want to go, but I cannot wait to be part of this. And as you know, of course, people will be saying that, I don't need to sell myself to you. You already know what I'm capable of. You know
absolutely.
I'm a great guy, and you know I can do stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You proved your loyalty many times over.
And, Matthias, you can vouch for this. Being loyal in wrestling is also a key factor in a longevity career.
Typically, yes. It all depends on, you could always remain loyal, but, you know, loyalty also brings some exceptions where if a big opportunity comes along and that person has the opportunity, normally that person you're loyal to will say, hey, go take that opportunity, but as long as you come back in the future, you're okay.
Well, you know, also the main thing about me is I was given some good advice a long time ago. You know, you can always climb the ladder of success, and you meet a lot of people as you climb up that ladder. But as you're climbing up that ladder, you got to remember who you passed and who you talked to, because if you go back down that ladder, you still got to look those people in the eye. So I'm the kind of guy that I may climb up the ladder of success. However, I'm not going to get cocky about it. A lot of people may think I would, but I'm not. Because if you fall down that ladder, you got to look at everybody back smack dab in the face as you pass them. You also got to look at them coming back down.
Exactly.
And, so that's basically what it is. And I really look forward to all the projects that Scott has got lined up. And there is many. And
yeah.
I love the fact I'm part of them. And I know that people say, well, you know, if you wouldn't have been pandering this and that, but no, it has nothing to do with that. It started out like that, but it is warped into something bigger than what it started out as.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it has.
And
I look forward
to
what's going to happen.
And it's going to be great. And there's nothing that's really going to stop what you have planned, what you want to do, what you're going to do, how I'm going to be part of this, where we're going, where, why, when, how, all that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would say within the next 2-3 years maybe, it's going to be a big, big happening. And it's going to start out where it is now, and it's just going to skyrocket, kind of like our show. As a matter of fact, speaking of our show, April 4th is our 7th-year anniversary that we've been doing this. 7 years. And I do believe, Matthias, you might remember that WrestleMania where we started the show the night after that WrestleMania. That's where Stephanie McMahon came out in the motorcycle, on the back of the motorcycle with Triple H wearing that leather outfit.
Yep, sure do.
And I think that was probably one of her cooler outfits, I guess. But
yeah, I'd say so.
Hey, speaking of Triple H, and we got about 5 minutes before our first guest calls in. You know, speaking of Triple H, you know, I made a comment online about where I thought that you know, how Triple H got to where he was. And some people didn't really take too kindly to that. People said, well, you know, he was already champion before he married the Buster. But here's the deal, though. He was not COO until he married the boss's daughter. Agreed?
I mean, it is facts, yeah.
So there you go. I mean, everybody says, well, he was a champion. He was this. He was a, that's fine, but he didn't become COO and become part of management until he married the boss's daughter. I will stick to that from now until whenever, because it's true. He would not have got that position unless he married Stephanie McMahon, and I'm going to stick to that from now until whenever. Your thoughts?
I mean, I don't really mess with anything with Triple H now. I really don't like to invest my opinion on the product right now. I mean, it is true that he married the boss's daughter, and he probably got a lot of advantages being Vince McMahon's son-in-law. Being the COO, I don't know. I think that might have had something to do with it, considering the fact he's been there for a number of years, and he was married to Stephanie, and she was the vice president or something like that. So he moved up to the ranks, I think, in that way. I don't know if it had a direct result for him becoming COO. I mean, heck, I could have probably stepped onto the thing and done COO, but you never know. I mean, it does seem like it could have been a factor.
Right, exactly. So let's kind of move away from the wrestling talk a little bit. Like I said, we got about 5 minutes before our first break, and our first guest calls in. I got some interesting news, though, Matthias. We're going to have a new sponsor on our show starting next week.
Oh, really? Who's that?
DJ Coulter Agency is going to be sponsoring the Attitude Era Monday Live Monday show.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So we have Whispering Sweets. We have now DJ Coulter, and we have a few others. And also, of course, we have Ken's FM as a sponsor. So I plan on getting us more. And for those of you who are wondering, no, I'm not going to be voicing all the commercials for our sponsors. That would get kind of tiresome. To be honest with everybody, I do not like to hear my voice. So when the show is over, I never listen to the episode unless I'm playing it for somebody. I do not like to hear myself talk. So I'm kind of like Paul Walker. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Paul Walker didn't like to see himself up on the screen. He would go to the movie premiere, watch himself on the screen once, and he would never watch any of his movies again. Did you guys know that?
I did not know
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he did not like to see himself on the screen. I mean, I feel a little bit differently. I mean, I don't like to hear myself talk, but I can't wait to see myself on the big screen, and Mr. Han is going to have a lot to do with that.
Yep, that's the plan.
So what else is new to you, Matthias? As a matter of fact, both you guys were missing in action last week. So what else have you been up to besides that cool interview you did? Pick up any titles?
I actually when was it? It feels like a month ago, but I think it was close to a month ago. I won the Rudo's Promotions All Weight Intercontinental Championship in a doors match. At the end of the match, I was covered in Legos and blood and sweat and tears and wood and whatever else you could think of. I had slivers inside my body. I was covered in blood. My white shirt was soaked in my blood. I had sweat all over me, toilet water, all that kind of stuff. I won that match. It took about, I think that was a 40-minute match at Rudo's Promotion. And then I defended my title, my APW World Heavyweight Championship, successfully against superstar Steve Stardom on March 23rd. And now basically my eyes are set for April 6th when I go back to Minneapolis to face an unknown challenger for my title. And then after that, it will be Flashback in Montana on the 19th and then Dickinson, North Dakota on the 20th for Below Zero. And, yeah, just kind of moving on up, gaining titles and winning matches, basically.
So, Scott, I guess that proves that if you're looking for a guy that can be a star in your movie and also do his own stunts so you don't have to pay a stuntman, Matthias would be the guy.
There you go. Yeah, Matthias, are you afraid of heights?
Absolutely not.
Good. So, in other words, like, if we were going to have to, like, have you double in and, like, be thrown off a roof, you'd be okay with that?
That's fine with me. I jumped off the stratosphere 855 feet in a free fall.
Okay.
So yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. That sounds like a good deal. Yeah, we're talking about that. That's the movie. So you're on.
Awesome.
Hey Scott, you know what I would like to see? You know, is about a werewolf, right? Yeah, it has a. Well, you know me. I like to throw my name in there every once in a while. But, you know, it's got a werewolf in it, right?
Oh, yeah, it does. It might have many werewolves in it. Mm-hmm.
This would be an awesome thing
next to WrestleMania, Mathias and the Lycaon Werewolf. Match to the death.
And you guys turn into werewolves during it?
Yeah, do you think you can take it on a werewolf at times? I've taken on people that resembled werewolves. I've taken on people that have presented Andre the Giant. I have taken on people that resembled Agent Orange, a.k.a. Napalm. So, yeah, if I could take on those people, I think a werewolf will be – I mean, I've taken on people that resembled them, and they acted similar. So, I mean, yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I think you'd be great at that. So we're just waiting for our first guest to call in, and she should be calling in shortly. Like I say, it'll be a fun interview, so we'll just wait for her to call in, and we will get to that here shortly. And we're just waiting on the board here, and when she calls in, we'll take a commercial break, and then we'll go to the interview. Anyway, so, Scott, what else has been new with you other than your birthday last week? I believe you're now, what, 22?
Yeah, another year older, or another year younger, however you want to look at it. Yes, another year has passed. Yeah, last Monday was my birthday, so, you know, I wasn't going to be able to be on the show, unfortunately. But anyway, so we had that, and then, of course, you know, we had the Easter holiday yesterday, and... You know, just like I talked to you a couple of times this week, so I was able to fill you in on a few things that were going on that will involve you. And obviously werewolves, more werewolves are coming, and more werewolves are in my future, and apparently are in your future as well. So I'm going to be probably working on a new script tomorrow with our executive producer, Craig, that I've talked about before. We're going to start outlining tomorrow, and then I'll be working on the first draft myself, so I should probably – I usually work pretty fast. So if it's a good enough outline tomorrow, you know, I could probably have that done in a relatively good amount of time. And then we'll get a better, more clear idea with what we're going to do. I already have my effects guy, you know, figured out for the film, and my visual effects artist to come on as well. I've already spoken to both of them. So we're moving, man. You know, good news. We are moving on a project.
I'll tell you what, if you guys want to talk a little bit, I'm going to take this call. I'll be right back.
I like how Icon always likes to throw us under the bus that way and just getting to talk about random things. But, yeah, like, I've always had interest in producing movies and stuff like that, and I've always known that it's been extremely difficult to, you know, go out there and produce one. What has been one of the hardest parts in producing, like, the Black Tent and stuff like that?
Hey, Kevin, are you calling in?
Well, the biggest thing of it is you got to find the money. And, you can go out there and write a great script, but without the money, it's just not going to happen. And the Black Tent was delayed several times due to the fact of funding because, you know, I wanted to do that Tim Burton style, and that's expensive. So, you know, that project just sort of, you know, every time we kind of get a firm handle on it, you know, somebody else comes in and is like, you guys just don't have enough money. So it's always like that budget is just escalating and escalating and escalating. And, you know, it's kind of to a point where I think there's a good way to chip that down. It involves a page one rewrite to get it down to where it needs to be. But we kind of already are in flight with something. So we figure, you know, right now we're going to continue with werewolves. We're on to something here, and we're going to make it bigger and better and, you know, a little more extravagant than what I have in my Lycaon movie, and we're going to do that first. So, and then from there, I have other scripts also that I kind of really want to take a look at, you know, and develop and try to get those moving as well. You know, I mean, you know, after a while, you know, when you spend 2.5 years, you know, just trying to get something made,
yeah,
and it's taken so much time. You just kind of want to move on and start making some other stuff. You know what I mean, Matthias?
Yeah, exactly. It all makes sense when it all. I mean, it's like it's about money most of the time with almost anything, especially with movies. I've come to find out. I tried to make a few shorter films, like when I was in like college and stuff. And I mean, that was easy because we had the props and stuff. But like when it comes to the hard heavy hitters, it's always about that good old money when you got to try to figure it out. You know.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing of it is, too, I mean, with the decline in ticket sales and the decline in the physical media sales, it's all in the cloud now, and it really has done more damage than helped. So that also is why it's, there's like a new economy with this stuff. And it's all within like the last 12 years, 15 years max, no more than that. So it's kind of like a rapid change that's happening. And, like, look, I mean, even Indiana Jones and superhero movies aren't even a guarantee anymore. Look, they're not even making money. So, I mean, there's a big change going on right now in the entertainment industry. So everybody's kind of tightening up their belts at the moment. They're getting scared. So.
Hey, guys, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and then we'll go to our first guest, all right? So stick with us. We'll be right back. So don't go away. We'll be right back. The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, our first guest of the night.
Say hello to my little friend.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, our first guest is Catherine Pacino. Hey!
Hey, this is Catherine Coven Pacino, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live. Monday, 89.1, Ken's FM, your host with the iconic, with the big swing. Also, floating, or featuring, well, he's floating too, but he's featuring, Scott, the director, hand and the modern nightmare, Matthias. I love that name, Matthias. It sounds Greek, is it?
I think it might be. Well, anyway, here's what we're gonna do, this, Catherine. We got Catherine Pacino as a guest here. We got about 30 minutes with you, and we're gonna have some fun here. I'm gonna ask you a few questions, and we'll do a roundtable, then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But first off, give us a little background about yourself, and then we'll have some fun.
Okay, well, my name is Catherine Coven Pacino. I am the widow of Sal Pacino, who is the father of Al Pacino, and so which makes me the stepmother of Al from my last marriage. And I have to say that I'm very, very proud of him. And his father and I were married for 12 years until his untimely death in 2005. I since have remarried. And I'm an actress. I'm a co-author. I'm an entrepreneur, and I just started my own jewelry business, K. Coven Collection. So I got a lot of stuff going on.
So I'm kind of curious, being Al Pacino's a stepmom, how many times have you heard this?
Say hello to my little friend!
I heard it many, many times, but I always find it funny. I got to say, the first time I met Al, I didn't know what to think, because here's this guy who played in Godfather, Scarface, all these things. I didn't know what to expect, but he turned out to be the most, you know, the funniest, you know, most down-to-earth, nicest guy, one of the nicest in the business, I have to say that.
So I
and
guess
he's a
you
wonderful
could say,
father to his kids.
I guess you could say he was a complete polar opposite than the character he's played.
The complete antithesis, yeah. He's a great actor, but also a great human being in real life, so in person. So, and he and I got along. We clicked right away, and which I'm really, really happy about. And we're still, even though his father has passed on, the only time we do get to see each other nowadays is, you know, like after a play, after one of his plays, or, you know, after an award show or something like that. And we're still, you know, on very good bases, and which makes me very happy. good guy, and I want people to know that.
Did you come to him to the Oscars this year?
No, I went to an Oscar viewing party at the Hilton in Universal Hilton because I wanted to sit with Royster Michaels, you know, who's going to be doing the movie The Haunting with the Mark Wahlberg people. I'm going to be in that with Mark Hamill and Kevin Bacon, Lee Ehrenberg, Paul Abdul, and a few other people.
That's pretty cool. We got that Catherine Pacino as our guest here. We got about 20 minutes here. And you're still keeping busy. I'm going to ask you one question, and we'll do the roundtable. I mean, you got, according to IMDb, you got six projects coming up. Betrayal, Phoenix Woman, Who's Going to Take Care of Me, Part 1, Love Me, Soul of Sin City. Man, you're still keeping busy.
Yeah, I'm keeping busy, and then but I also just started my jewelry line, my jewelry collection, Kay Coven, and I've been very busy, but I'm looking forward to a lot of things. We're supposed to start filming either in May, June, The Haunting. It's actually the whole thing is called Death Realm, The Haunting. Mark Hamill, Kevin Bacon, Paul Abdul, Lee Ehrenberg, and a few other people. And also, I'm going to be in Sonic Rush. Those things are also in development. That's going to be like a trilogy in the next year or two. Those are all the Mark Wahlberg people.
And think about this. Now you'll be part of 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
That's right. I know. Oh, my God, yeah. I'm looking forward to meeting him. I've never met him before.
Well, I'll tell
I hear
you
he's
what,
a really nice guy, though.
Well, I'll tell you what, I look forward to the scene where you and him are reenacting some scenes from Footloose. I cannot wait to see that.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be in scenes with Kevin Bacon. I know they're going to put me in scenes with Mark Hamill.
That's awesome. And then... you know, you can go from say hello to my little friend to I am your father. That's awesome. That is really cool. we have Miss Pacino as our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got plenty of time here. We're gonna do a roundtable here. I'm gonna introduce you to a great independent film director. He's great in independent horror films, and his name is Scott Hand. Go ahead, Scott. What do you got?
Well, first I want to tell you, I grew up with Al's movies, so I'm a huge fan of his. So, the next time
Great.
You do talk to Al, whenever that is, please tell him that Scott Hand is a huge fan of his, and his work really influenced me to even go into film. So that
cool.
I mean, I grew up
like, he'll be
you know,
flattered to know
for
that.
All. Yeah. And
oh
Justice
yeah,
for
Justice
all,
for All. Justice for All was one of my favorites.
So
you're out of order.
You're out of order.
This whole courtroom is out of order.
Uh-huh.
that was an iconic scene, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's one of those movies I don't get tired of watching. I've actually seen it like probably like 150 times through the years. You know, it was the first movie that I ever saw with Al in it. You know, and then of course I saw the Godfather movies. You know, 1, 2, because 3 wasn't even out yet at that time. And then I was like constantly like looking for his movies and like watching his movies. And I loved his style of acting, like how he would like start shouting and screaming at times and, you know, like really going nuts and all. So it was like, I started really getting into the acting part of it, watching Al. So, you know, that's something I kind of always hoped like I could really tell him. And I mean, I may not ever get to tell him that, but hopefully you'll be able to relay that to him. So,
By the way, do you know James Balsamo and Craig Muckler and those people? Craig Muckler is my writing partner. He's he did Microwave Massacre. He did a bunch of very iconic things. Malibu High. And here's my husband who just got out of the closet, William Lashbrook.
Yeah, who is this?
This is the show.
Oh, yes. Hello.
He's going to be ripped to shreds. This is William Lashbrook. Just say
hello. Yeah, hi. Yeah, I'm Kathy's husband, and chief luggage carrier is who I am.
Well, hey, just so you know, I am not hitting on your wife.
Yeah, he was. He's been an actor. He's done Shakespeare and a few things. He's very, very talented.
Yeah, do you think he'd be one to come on the show at some point?
He would love to do that. You would like to come on the show at some point, right, Bill?
Sure, of course.
He would love that.
I can't pass the microphone. I don't instantly fall in love with.
Well,
he's
a
real man.
I have the same problem, believe it or not. If I see a microphone, I'm entertaining all the time. Speaking of entertaining with a microphone, Scott, we'll come back to your question in a second. Matthias, you love to entertain with a microphone, do you not?
Well, I mean, you know, when it comes to making people angry at me as I verbally harass them and insult them, yes, it is quite an honor to do that each and every night.
Oh, good. A fellow unruly soul. I search for the unruly souls of this world.
Yeah. Well, I think you came on the right show then.
Well, I'm in. Now, listen, I don't know. I haven't been listening to any of this conversation. But has Kathy told you that
Al, you're an awesome guy and you're a great cook?
Listen, Al has, I tell you what, Al, I have an everlasting feeling for Al, positive feelings for the guy. Al likes a live audience. Do you know that? And he's at home. Now, mind you, he's made his money in front of the camera lens. Of course, we know that. But what does he like to do best? He likes to stand on the stage and look out and maybe see your eyes and work to a live audience. I don't know if Kathy told you that he started out stand-up comedy. Unbelievable, but true.
Wow. So is that why you had him as your best man?
No. It's because I'm unruly, and how shall I put this? I live for controversy, and unruliness. I think unruly is the appropriate word for me.
Bill is going to be in Ripped to Shreds in the future with Craig Muckler, who's an icon in the horror genre. And also he was in Heavy Metal. He played Johnny the Cleaner.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do, Kevin. We got 15 minutes here left. Here's what we're going to do. Since you still let me call you, what I'll do is I will call you and I will set up a time where we can have your husband as a guest on our show. And then, you know, you were bragging about him a little earlier, so now that he can come on the show and brag about you, like how good of a cook you are and, you know, how, you make a great home and everything. And we'll talk all about that.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
But don't go away yet. Scott, I do apologize. Did you have a question? I'm sorry.
Well, I was already talking about Al. Most of it had a lot to do with that. And I wanted to explain to her that how familiar I was with his work, you know, especially like, you know, Heat, that's another movie. It's like, you know, so many of his movies, his performances always just blew me away. So... yeah, I didn't really have a question.
Thank you for that.
I was geeking
out.
That's
always nice to hear. It's always nice to hear. Thank you so much for that.
Now, Matthias, didn't you say at one time that you would have been great in the movie Scarface, a wrestling match between you and Al Pacino? Didn't you mention that one time?
Well, you know, as being the greatest professional wrestler out there, and I'm a man that does my own stunts, so if Al ever wanted to go mano a mano in a movie, I was always down to do it. He claims to be tough, and I know I'm tough. So if he ever wanted to, if I ever could have scrambled one on one with him in a movie, well, then I guess we would have seen who would have truly won then, I suppose.
Well, it's always nice to hear you guys.
Catherine Vecchio is our guest here. We still got plenty of time here. We got about 10 minutes. So now I don't know, Catherine. I don't know if you can what you're able to talk about your upcoming projects. But like I mentioned, you have 6 projects that are in, either in development or post production or pre production. Is there anything else that you have on the horizon? I know you probably can't talk about it, but how many other projects would you say that you'll be doing in the next couple of years that you're excited about?
Well, my husband and I and this other man, this photographer and producer called Mario Prado, we own a thing called Yachts, Islands, and Cuisine, in which we will show, I can't really talk about it unless somebody, you know, I have an NDA on it, but I will be cooking, you know, and showing, you know, lifestyles, things like that. We did this already down in the islands, but we're redoing it in a whole different way. So, we're dealing with investors and things like that right now.
Now, the other thing I was going to ask you about is who's going to take care of me? It says who's going to take care of me, part one. Now, is that going to be – is part one, so there's obviously going to be another one, or is there going to be like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
There might be a second. There might be a third. I'm not sure. But it's a very interesting story. It's about Marnene Lynn Fields, who is an excellent actress, singer, entertainer. She's award-winning. And this is all about her mother's homelessness, depression, and I play a tarot reader. You know, this is a true life story. And it's going to be exciting because these are the type of things that I really like doing, things that deal with everyday life.
And you're also going to be producing that in that movie as well.
Well, I'm like an associate producer, so.
Now, everybody obviously likes being in front of the camera, but do you feel that being behind the camera and doing the producing is just as rewarding as being in front of the camera compared to being behind the camera and behind the scenes?
If it's something that you're really excited about, yes. I mean, I'm excited about, you know, making her dream or helping making her dream come true. Also, Eric Zulli is in it. Racer Michaels is in this. What is her name? Tracy Lynn Cowan is in it, and they're all excellent actors. Racer Michaels, by the way, is someone who I'm going to be playing with. He's producing, directing, writing Death Realm, The Haunting, you know, and doing, he has a lot of movies in production. Really good guy. I worked with him in Mansion of Blood with Gary Busey. Years ago, so good guy, and you know, so shout out to Racer Michael, shout out to Eric Zulli and Dante Sears, who are doing a kick-ass campaign with you know, the Kay Coven jewelry line, Easy Way Promotions. So I wanted to shout out to these people, you know.
And for those of you who listen to our show from time to time, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, like that. Go to 89.1 Kens FM page, like that. Do a $10 a month donation to Power Tower. We'll get you an autographed picture from a past guest, current guest, or future guest. We'll get you qualified for that. Now, I do believe, Catherine, you have sent us a few, or you're going to send us a few, I believe.
Send us a few. I'm sorry?
You'll be sending us a few autographs for giveaways?
Oh, of course I will. I'd be more than happy. More than happy to. Sure.
Awesome. And I will get you the names of the winners, who to sign that to, and we can talk about that off the air, and we do appreciate that. Let me ask you this. You were talking about your jewelry line. How could our fans find your jewelry line if they wanted to buy, like, an engagement ring or earrings or a bracelet? Where can they find you online for that?
kcoven.com, and are also kcovenjewelry.com.
And is there any Is there any particular jewelry that you specialize in, whether it be rings or earrings or necklaces or bracelets or?
Well, you know, I do a little bit of everything. I do a men's line, I do a ladies' line, but we're concentrating right now since it's getting into bridal season and, you know, weddings and things like that. Moissanite, which is, you know, a lab-created diamond, you know, for those who don't want to spend the same amount of money, but it looks like the real deal. I mean, I'm wearing a moissanite bracelet right now and a ring with my wedding ring, and it just looks beautiful. We have, but we also have the Cuban chains, and we have all kinds of, we have the dainty look, we have the statement look, you know, so it's really, really cool. Go on kcoven.com and also over the Easy Way, kcoven, Easy Way Promotion.
What was the one thing that inspired you to start doing jewelry?
I grew up in the jewelry business. My dad did the fine jewelry. I basically do the costume. But he sold Stan Musial, Yogi Berra, Joe Garagiola, you know, all these baseball, basketball stars. We're from St. Louis, but we moved into California when I was around 11 years old. But my parents were very, very well known back there, and they were like the Al Pacino of the jewelry business. My dad owned a chain. He started a chain when he got Southern California, Arnie Coven Jewelers. And so that's where I got that. I just wanted to continue because I love jewelry. But my saying is from the catwalk, from the sidewalk to the catwalk, from every day to the runway, life is not just a dress rehearsal, or is it? And I just helped with some jewelry with Shakar Rahate, who does gowns for the Oscars. He's an Indian couturier. I'm doing a lot of stuff for different films, especially horror movies. Monster On, I'm doing product placement. I did a gothic look. You know, so, and I specialize, you know, I sell to a lot of celebrities.
And if our fans wanted to check you out and see you, do you have a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I have Facebook. I have, I do have a, what is it? I have a little bit of everything, but mainly I'm on Facebook, and look me under Catherine Coven Pacino, and look under Easy Way Promotions. There's a whole special thing with Kay Coven, and I do have an Instagram, so just look under Kay Coven Jewelry, okay, or Kay Coven.
And one thing that we would like to do here for you, you know, you mentioned you got a couple of projects coming up. We would definitely love to have your husband on, and we would definitely love to have you back on as well. And if you could bring your writer friends with you, we'll promote anything that you got on the show here, because we would love to be your central hub for anything that you want to promote.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. They want you on the show, honey. On the show.
I'd love to come. I'd love to be on the show. You sound like a good, what shall I say? Just a good guy and your partner there. No, I'd love to come. I'd love to be involved.
He's an excellent actor, too, by the way.
And here's the thing. I do have what you said recorded, and I do appreciate that. I'm going to now use that on my answering machine message.
All right.
I love it.
You allow barroom brawlers, do you not, on your program?
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, one of my co-hosts could probably win a barroom brawl, but that would be Matthias. But I myself, I try and stay away from any confrontation unless it's warranted. But, you know, like, for instance, if you cut me off in traffic, I might want to have a conversation with you. Or if we're playing pool or we're playing check or something and you cheat me, then we might have a conversation. But I usually like to avoid confrontation. I'm more of a lover than a fighter, really.
I love it. No more road rage.
Right, exactly. That's what we said.
Well,
that's what my wife keeps telling me. Well, I'll tell you what, Catherine, you have been, you and your husband have been so wonderful. I can't wait to have you guys back on again. We thank you for joining us. You have been so wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me, and a big shout out to all our listeners. And I look forward to listening to the show and sharing it with all.
Yeah, we'll all laugh and scratch.
And I will send you the link so you guys can replay the show and you can tell everybody how you were on with the guy with the biggest ego in the history of Fargo, North Dakota, the Icon.
I love it. Oh, that's another thing that I'm going to be doing, by the way. My writing colleague, Craig Muckler, we're doing a book called 12 Easy Ways to Be a Narcissist.
Hey,
talk about ego.
Now, let me ask you this. So I want to stand down for this.
Not to be a narcissist, but when you said ego.
No, listen.
Can you
help
us out with
that? None of us want to be ruled as narcissists, but I got to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What about me?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I've been saying what about me for the last 25 years, so I'm with you on that. I'm still trying to cash in the IOUs from the Tooth Fairy.
Have a couple of podcasts before on, it's called the Catherine Colvin Pacino Experience. I had a couple of those. Our last guest was Spencer Wilding, who played, Darth Vader, and he was in...
Johnson movies.
Game of Thrones, et cetera. We had John Volstead. We had, who else? Craig Mulkey and... what's his girlfriend's name? Spears?
Dana.
Dana Sparks from Jags.
Yeah, but listen.
We have some good guests.
No, ask him. No. Here's what's really important.
What?
Ask him if he can arrange a red carpet birthday celebration for our 3-pound chihuahua. That's John. No, in the next month we want to be on his program, and we want to have Lala walk a red carpet. Can he arrange
that?
She's
actually walked a red carpet before, Lala. Yeah.
Well,
but anyway, those are the things that
are
done and that I'm
doing. We will do all that for you. And let me ask you this. The book that you talked about, How to Be a Narcissist, would you be able to hook us up with the author so we can have him as a guest and talk about that book?
Well, yeah. Well, Craig Muckler and I wrote that book, but we're still trying to get it published. We're looking for a publisher.
And I'll tell you what, when you guys are ready, I'll stay in contact with you. I know that's a scary thing, but I'll stay in contact with you. And when you're ready to put that book out, or when you guys are able to talk about it, we will have you and him back on the show, and we'll talk about it. And then maybe we can get an autographed copy, and you can sign it to the Icon from one narcissist to another.
Yeah, but hey, listen, Surely you don't know any narcissists
you know, in the business that we are all in. Surely you're not involved with narcissists.
But anyway, I want to give you Craig Muckler's number. I mean, because he'd be an excellent guest. He's done a lot of iconic, scary stuff, and you would know all of his work. And he could get you, you know, a lot of his friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he's the one that got John Volstead. He's the one that got all these other guests. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
And he was close to Rock Hudson and his mother.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys.
More interesting life.
You guys have been so wonderful. I wish we had 45 more minutes with you guys. But I'll tell you what, we will have you on for a whole hour, and we'll talk about all this other good stuff that you guys got going on.
I would love that, but especially after I do my movie, I would, you know, as soon as I'm able to talk about it, I would love to talk about it, you know, when the time is right. But even before that, anything that I need to be promoted, I really thank you guys for that. I really appreciate it.
You are awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, we love you very much. Say hi to Al for us.
Yeah,
and we do appreciate everything you guys do. We love you guys. Thank you.
Love you too. Thank you for having me. Shout out to
all.
All
right, take care, guys. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, Minnie. Bye-bye.
Well, hey, guys, that was awesome, huh?
Yeah.
I had no idea that her husband was going to chaperone the show. I had no idea. I was walking on padded paws because her son is Al Pacino, and her husband, he sounds like a great guy. He didn't want to hurt me, so I guess we're good there. But we need to take a commercial break, and we will be right back after these messages with our next guest. So everybody, stay tuned. We will be right back to you.
So, if your spring and summer projects include some concrete work, Elevated Concrete can help. They can be reached at 701-866-9018 or at Elevated Concrete on Facebook. Their concrete work includes driveways, sidewalks, walkways, approaches, garage floors, patios, and shed pads. Plus, they offer decorative or stamped concrete as well. And all estimates are free. They are ready right now for any concrete project you have. That's Elevated Concrete at 701-866-9018.
You're listening to 89.1 KENS FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is our next guest on the docket. He's going to tell us all about Hollywood. He's going to tell us about producing, being 30 years in the business. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my buddy. At this time, he is Paul Solomoff.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man, what's happening?
Doing good. Really enjoying the show so far.
All right. Well, we can do the script thing at the end if you want.
Well, we can do it right now. Do you want me to just jump into it right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, this is writer-director Paul J. Solomoff, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live, Mondays on 89.1 KENS. Your hosts are the icons of the Big Swing and featuring Scott, the director hand, and the air Matthias.
All right. Thank you, Paul. So here's how we're going to do this, Paul. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable. Then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But first off, give us a little background about yourself, and then we'll have some fun. Go ahead.
Great. Yeah, so I grew up on the East Coast and just fell in love when I saw Star Wars in its initial run in the theater and decided that I'd out of the biggest sports community in New England and get over to California to work in the film industry. So came out here in 89, and when I was going to school at USC, I started working in the industry as a makeup effects artist and did that for 14 years on over 40 films, 10 TV series, and a bunch of commercials, and then transitioned to writing, producing, and also writing novels and nonfiction books, and to directing my first feature, a film called Encounter, that won a bunch of awards, including the Saturn Award for Best Independent Film.
And you've been involved in a lot of big projects. I'm going to list a few, and then we'll talk about them, and then we'll do the roundtable, and we'll come back to me. You've been involved in Ernest Scared Stupid, Batman Returns, Critters 3, Critters 4, Midnight Kiss, Weird Science, the TV series, Ed Wood, Fist of the North, Escape from L.A., Children of the Corn, Batman and Robin, Dr. Doolittle, There's Something About Mary, Me, Myself, and Irene, Say It Ain't So, Scary Movie 2, Shallow Hell, The Tick, Star Trek Enterprise, Secondhand Line, Stuck on You with My Hero, Greg Kinnear, Dogma, Adaption. I mean, you have just done it all. Wow. What a resume.
Thanks. That's only half of it.
It. One thing I do got to ask you now, don't take this the wrong way, but, I just mentioned Stuck on You. You were a special effects makeup artist, and, of course, we mentioned that starred my hero, Greg Kinnear. It says in IMDb that you're uncredited, but you probably did more work on that film than anybody else, right?
On Stuck on You, I actually was lucky. The Farrelly Brothers movies, I started on There's Something About Mary, which was great, because the funny story to that is that I was working on the original version of the Hulk. This is the one before the Ang Lee version, and it didn't get made, but they pulled me off of the Hulk to work on this movie, There's Something About Mary, and I complained to my boss. I'm like, you're not taking me off the Hulk to work on the next movie by the guys who made Kingpin, and the Hulk gets canceled, and There's Something About Mary comes one of the biggest comedies of all time, and had so much fun on that. So I wound up working on five of the Farrelly Brothers movies, and Stuck on You was fun. Yeah.
Well, you got to tell us the truth, though. You said, I will drop the Hulk if there's a scene in There's Something About Mary where she nips out. And then you said, I'm all in for that.
Wait a minute, I didn't catch that.
There's a scene when he's looking at her through the glass, and she's wearing the white shirt, and she's nipping out. You said, I'll be part of it if you let me film that scene.
Yeah, exactly. Those are fun movies to work. I actually made all the fake dogs. I was one of the people who made the fake dogs for that movie and the iconic dog in the cast. So it was a really fun show. We were down in Florida and getting to work with, Cameron Diaz was so sweet, and I was a big fan of Ben Stiller. So it was such a great shoot. It was one of my favorite things that I've ever worked on, and creating those dogs were so iconic as well.
And I think one of your other demands was you got to catch a touchdown pass from Brett Favre.
I left the biggest sports community in New England to come to Hollywood. My brother was like a varsity football player. I was born with no sports interest at all. I knew I had to get into the film business.
That's awesome. Paul Solomoff is our guest here on 89.1 Kens FM. And like I said, we got plenty of time here with our man here. We're going to do the roundtable here. Scott Hand, what do you have for our exciting guest who has done everything from here to eternity?
I'm curious. Your last name, I'm not catching. Is it Hendricks? Is that what it is?
No, it's Solomoff.
Salamore? Okay.
Salamoff.
I was curious. What was it?
It's Salamoff. Yes. I was blessed with such a great name that nobody can pronounce.
Okay.
Look up Paul Salamoff. You will only find me.
Okay. I'm curious about the Hulk movie that was canceled, because I have seen pictures from Steve Johnson's page where he had this big, gigantic Hulk in a studio and everything that they were putting together. Now, Paul, when you were involved in it, was that when Joe Johnston was directing it, or was that when Jonathan Hensley had taken it?
It was Jonathan Hensley. He was the director on it, and Gail Ann Hurd was still the producer. And
right.
I was for Tony Gardner. So we were doing these two characters. One I remember was called Maxine, and it was like this bird woman. So I was involved with helping make I mean, you got to remember, this is before, like, CGI was really, like,
right.
You could get it for
97,
cheap. So
right?
What's that?
It was 1997, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was like 97, maybe it was either 97 or 99. I don't remember when Mary came out. But, and we worked on it. We worked on it for, like, a good, like, 5 months, and we actually shot a test footage at Universal, which I still to this day have never seen. And we made Maxine, then we made this other character, I think his name is Novak, and it was this really cool suit that had, he looked like he was like living lava, right? But it had like black light, because, like they weren't really doing CGI, so we had like black light lava between his suit, so they had a film that was black light. I never saw what it looked like. Intrigued, but it was crazy working on that. One of the reasons it was canceled because the $100 million budget was just too expensive.
Wow. Wow,
crazy. Today, right?
Well, Scott.
Ang Lee's movie was over $100 million. Wasn't that like $125 or something at the time?
What film?
When Ang Lee finally did it in 2003, wasn't his like $100?
Yeah,
it was like 125 or something, you know?
Yeah, and that was a number of years later, though. I think it was like 2003 or something.
It was 2003. Yeah, it was 2003. Yeah.
Well, Paul, if anybody knows about a budget in trying to get a movie made, it's me and Scott.
Why is that?
Well, we can talk about that a little bit. Unless Scott wants to mention it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I made my first feature film. It's a werewolf movie called Like Hay, and I did a couple of short films. One's about the Jersey Devil. I don't know if you're familiar with that lore. And then I did recently, I finished my first short film. It's a comedy called Five Losers on a Line. And we've been working on, for about the better part of 2.5 years, I've been working on trying to get my picture for The Black Tent produced. And the budget has always seemed to be an issue on this, because what I want to do is I kind of wanted to make this movie like a Tim Burton style, you know. I kind of want to go with the German expressionism, a lot of production design, color lighting, you know, probably mix it up with, you know, some well-known actors versus, you know, some, you know, newcomers, you know, to, you know, try to keep things fresh. You know, I kind of like to do that in my pictures. And we just keep going back and forth on the dilemma of the budget. The budget it's just forever a nightmare on this thing, because we're not looking at like $100 million or $30 million or $20 million or $10 million, but what we just seem to be finding out is this whole bit with the cloud, you know, versus the declining sales on theaters, you know, with the tickets and the DVD sales going down, the cloud is really not helping things as much as we would like it to. You know, it's just helping to saturate the market, and therefore it's got profits way down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the industry has really transformed a lot over the last 20 years.
10 years.
I mean, and, you know, it's just trying to roll with the punches. I was actually just on a call this afternoon. I might be directing my second feature, and just the new one. We have two financiers that are definitely interested in the project, but just those little nuances before it can get, you know, the green light and the, you know, the hoops you have to jump through. And it's, you know, it's an interesting business, but you know, when it works, it works. You know, such a great time on my first feature as a director. And it was such a wonderful experience. And you know, I learned a lot as a filmmaker, and, you know, I was lucky enough that it went on to, you know, win some awards and play in film festivals. But it's, you know, you learn a lot when you're in the trenches, you know, actually, you know, directing your first film. It's, you know, it's interesting. It's not for the faint of heart at times.
Paul Sadoff is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got about 11 minutes here. I want to introduce you to my other co-host. His name is Matthias, the Modern Nightmare, and he's a fan of Critters 3, Critters 4, The Midnight Kiss. He also loved Children of the Corn. He wished he starred in that, and a Dogma as well. So, Matthias, what do you have for our guest? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, Rudas Promotions All-Weight Intercontinental Champion, NNSC World Tag Team Champion, and soon to be NNSC World Heavyweight Champion.
Has been paid for by the New World Order.
An honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias, welcome on to my part of the program. My main question to you would be, what was one of your favorite genres of film or whatever it is you ever got to work on? What was your favorite genre you ever got to work with?
Well, here's the thing. I'm like a huge horror fan. As a matter of fact, like I like to say my claim to fame is that I was on that game show Beat the Geeks, and I actually beat the horror geek, who's actually still a friend of mine. He has a great YouTube channel, by the way, The Horror Geek. But, yeah, I know an absurd amount of stuff about horror movies. I have an enviable library of movies on DVD, Blu-ray, and now 4K. And it's just a genre that I absolutely love. And as a writer, I'm sort of known as a horror sci-fi guy. I mean, like, sci-fi is also one of my favorite genres. But really love the horror genre. So I was really excited to work on a bunch of horror movies as a makeup effects artist.
Excellent. Well, I guess we got something to talk about here. So, Icon, I'm taking over for a little bit. What is your use to that? What is your favorite subgenre of horror film?
Oh, that's a great question. Wow, that's a great question. You know, you're going to get upset at me when I say that I'm a fan of elevated horror, but I really am. I really love, because it's brought a lot of respect to the genre, because a lot of people are very dismissive. And trust me, I watch, you know, lots of subgenres of horror. I'm not a huge fan of, like, torture porn, but I love it when it's elevated horror. As a matter of fact, I just saw this movie, Exhuma, a Korean horror movie, the other night that's still playing in the theaters right now. That is absolutely fantastic and worth checking out.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
But, I'm a slasher fan myself, I have to say.
What's that?
I said I'm a slasher fan myself, I have to say.
Yeah, well, I love slasher in its heyday, and almost worked on one of the Friday the 13th movies, Part 6, but they went with a different effects company. Part 9. Jason Goes to Hell. I almost worked on that. And I was really excited to work on a Friday the 13th movie, but it didn't happen. But, yeah, look, I love all genres of horror. I mean, that's the thing, is I think they all have something interesting to offer. I'm a big Clive Barker fan, and my favorite horror movie of all time is Reanimator, the Stuart Gordon film.
Great movie.
I love that. It's always been my favorite horror movie.
Mm-hmm. It's a good
one. So my next question to you would be, was there a series of horror films? It could be a slasher film, an elevated horror, a sci-fi, a zombie film, whatever. Was there any series of film that you thought should have, quote-unquote, died out while it was ahead? Or do you think every genre or every, like, series has kind of made its own correct path?
I love questions. Yeah, you know what? I know a lot of these films, unfortunately, are beaten to death, you know, like just diminishing returns, right? But it is amazing to me that a lot of times with these longer, you know, series, like, you know, obviously Halloween, Friday the 13th, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, among others, you know, I think at a certain point when they realize that they're killing these franchises, somebody invariably steps in there and, like, and resurrects it and makes them exciting again. And I think, like, the new Hellraiser showed that. Halloween has certainly had its ups and downs and a lot of downs, but You know, I'm excited to see, I want to see a new Friday the 13th movie. I'm really excited because I do love the slasher genre. And it's actually the funny thing with me with Friday the 13th is one of my favorite ones. Like, I love part four and I love part seven. I just love part seven because it's more, it sort of has a more fun feel to it. Part six is like that as well. But
yeah.
I think, you know, it just takes that person to come in there and realize what it is about the initial story that made it work in the first place. Like, unfortunately, Nightmare on Elm Street is kind of from this at the moment. Halloween is kind of in the doldrums at the moment, but it can't be resurrected. Like we saw with Hellraiser. I was pretty impressed with that new Hellraiser film. I'm looking forward to seeing more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, fine. You can go.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I definitely agree with you there on the Halloween series, for God's sake. I watched with, like, we could talk all about that Halloween Ends film was garbage.
Yeah.
I could sit there and rant for about 45 minutes on that film. But, yeah, I would have to say definitely Friday the 13th, I'd love to see another one. We haven't seen any since the 2009 reboot. And,
yep.
I mean, that was pretty decent. I liked how they brought Jason back to a survivalist instead of, like, a zombie myself.
Yep.
I like how they revamped that part of him. And I'm going to ask this after I state this. There is one film that I don't care how much money you pay me, how much begging you do on your knees.
They have not made a movie about your career yet.
Yeah, well,
I
haven't done that, which will be future, and we'll talk about that at another time. But one film I absolutely refuse to watch is the Nightmare on Elm Street 2010 film. I will never ever watch that film, ever, not only because of what they did to Freddy, and number two, it's not played by Robert Englund. Now, I understand that a lot of fans will go to the film based on the name, for instance, my first ever film that I have, a horror film that I ever got to see was Scream, and Scream is one of my favorite series of horror films, one of my favorite franchises, and I've seen every single one. I got to watch 1, 2, and 3 on VHS and DVD, and then I went and saw 4, 5, and 6 in the theaters. And then I definitely don't want to see a seventh one if the Carpenter sisters are not in it, due to all that yada yada BS stuff. But there's definitely no way I'm gonna watch the Nightmare on Elm Street. And like I said, a lot of people go just for the name. For instance, a lot of people went and saw Halloween Ends and they hated it, but they still went and saw it because it's Halloween and it's Michael Myers. But, is there a film for you that you will never, ever watch just because of, like, a certain thing? Because, like, for a lot of people, it would be, oh, they should have died off a long time ago, or this character's not played by this guy, or whatever the case. Is there one like that for you?
You know, you're not going to love my answer here, because my answer is this. I love movies, and I always joke that I'm the reason why pass failed, because I took it as a personal challenge to see a movie a day for $10 a month. And I mean, I literally live at the movie theaters. I try to see like 2 to 3 movies a week in the theater, if there's enough of them. I'm always interested in seeing what somebody can bring to something. Yes, it might be a failure, but you don't know until you watch it. And there have been some pleasant surprises. So is there stuff that's not, you know, you shouldn't touch? Yeah, but it's not enough for me to not watch it and be curious, because you don't know until you know. You know what I mean? You don't know until you actually watch the movie. I was really concerned about that new Hellraiser, to be honest with you, and I was quite surprised at how much I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And then.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a few minutes.
And then my last question. Go ahead, sorry.
Because the screen mask is hanging, like, not even, like, 2 feet away from me, but my office is all, like, movie props and, like, Doctor Who stuff and monsters and action figures and books, and I have a movie theater in my office, so, you know, know you're talking to a real fan here who really cares about film and especially the horror genre.
Yeah.
I have a razor box right in front of me.
And my last question to you before we have to get going is, my final question is, there a scene in any film or any moment in a film that even to this day that you currently watch that will some way get to you, like you'll jump or you maybe might let out a little scream or, you know, you have to, like, turn away because it's so disgusting?
You know what? It's not really the gore that gets me, but if you want to talk about a movie that really creeps me out, that every time I watch it, I'm, like, really, like, bothered by it, is a movie called Session 9. Are you familiar with
that's
it?
That's a good one, too.
Yep.
Yeah. That end of the movie just tackles, go up on my spine. Like, that's the thing. It's like, look, you're not because I did makeup effects, right? But when I watch a movie, I watch it like it's a new experience. I don't overthink it. I don't try to figure out how they made it. Movies are not ruined for me knowing how the sausage is made. But when a movie really gets skin, people ask me, like, what horror movies get under your skin? Session 9. I always say Session 9 because it creeps me out.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, if I want to be bothered by a horror movie, I'll probably watch something like that. Because, it's like,
go ahead.
Oh, no. No, I just don't.
My example is from the original Hatchet movie. I think you're familiar with those, but you're more than likely familiar with those. So the original Hatchet film, the second kill in the film, and the only reason it kind of gets to me just a little bit is because my jaw locks up if I yawn and my mouth opens up too wide. Well, when Victor Crowley puts his hands in that woman's mouth and he, like, opens her mouth a little bit, I'm like, okay, you know, this is painful. But then when you see the cheeks start to rip, I'm like, you know, you can just feel the tearing just ever so slightly, and it kind of just makes me cringe a little bit myself.
Well, you know what's sad with me is that I can see a lot of that gory stuff, but I can't watch people get injections with needles. And I'm, like, terrified. It's my biggest fear is I'm terrified of needles. I cannot watch. I'll turn away if someone's getting an injection.
So we'll never see you at the Diabetics Anonymous meeting?
Sorry about that. Did you see Count Yorga?
What's that?
Paul, did you watch Count Yorga? Do you know that one?
Oh, Yorga? Yeah.
Yeah, from about 1970. That one freaked me out when I was a kid. That one really, the story sucked me in and the end, that down ending and all. Yeah, that really stayed with me for years. That one really freaked me out, though.
We have Paul Solomov as our guest here. We only got about 60 seconds here with Paul. So if our fans want to check out and see if you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, what do you got?
Yeah, you can check out my my website is just pauljsolomov.com. Try to spell that. I'm also on Facebook. If you want to be my friend, I'll be your friend. So you can go to my just regular page. I have a fan page also, but go to my regular page. That's what I'm more engaged on. And actually, I think I'm on Insta and what is it called? X now. So yeah, I'm easy to find. And if you want to talk to me, I'll talk to you.
And real quick here, for those of you listening to our Facebook page, or our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, like that. Go to 89.1 Kens FM page, like that. Through a $10 a month donation, Power of the Tower, we'll get you automatically qualified to win an autograph picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. Now, Paul, I do believe you will send us a few autographs for giveaways.
Sure. Yeah, we'll figure that out. Happy to do that.
Awesome. I will send you the information. Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, you have been awesome, and we definitely want to have you on again. And, I booked you quite a little while ago, so I appreciate you sticking with us. And you are awesome, and I'm glad that you're with us tonight. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I had a great time tonight.
All right. Paul Solomov, ladies and gentlemen, that was great. You know, I like how he said, go ahead and try and spell my name. I like that. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick little commercial break, and we got a big treat coming up. So stick with us. We will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new blocks are here.
Yes, for a limited time, you can get your very own 89.1 Ken's FM clock. For a $25 donation, you can get a classic analog round-faced clock with the 89.1 Ken's FM logo on the front. Just go to our website, www.kensfm.com, and under the More Merch tab, you will find the clocks along with numerous other new merch you can order. Get yours now while supplies last. We have these in limited quantity. So order now at www.kensfm.com.
And this is the Bobby Heenan Show. Bobby is a gentleman whose personal charm is only exceeded by his mercurial wit. His ability to ad-lib knows no other equal. He is indeed the prince of verbal perfection. And without doubt, the one and only star of the Bobby Heenan Show. I have the profound joy to introduce Bobby Heenan.
And who knows better about Bobby Heenan than our guest right now? Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, the daughter of Bobby, the Brain Heenan, the lovely, the beautiful, she is Jessica Salt Heenan.
Hello, how are you?
How's it going, Jessica? Thank you for joining us tonight. We really do appreciate this.
Absolutely.
And we got plenty of time with you. We got about 35 minutes. We're going to be talking a lot about you, and we also want to talk a little bit about the man that we just talked about, Bobby the Brain Heenan. So tell us real quick here. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable, then we'll come back to me and I'll ask you a couple of questions. But give us a little background about yourself, and what was it like having the Brain as a daddy?
It's exactly as you imagined it would be. What you guys saw on your television screens or in the arenas was exactly as my dad was at home, if not even crazier. My mother was a saint. I had definitely a very colorful childhood. I got to do a lot of things that, you know, some kids didn't get to. And he was just the best father anyone could ask for. But, I mean, what you saw on TV, I got that in tenfold. And he was very protective.
So tell me, how many times did your elementary school teacher send a note home to have your dad sign and bring back?
Oh, no. They learned early on not to involve dad because he would just make it that much more of a spectacle and fiasco, because then him and I would start playing off each other. Even at a very young age, I learned how to rib and kayfabe, and, you know, I pretty much should have gone into the business, but got married young and became a young mother. And but I guess I can still do it now at 45. Who knows? But I remember in seventh grade, he came out of a meeting with my basketball coach, who I was having issues with because he wouldn't play me, and he said I was mouthy. And all
Uh-oh.
I heard is my dad walked out. Yeah, I know, right? And all I heard is my dad walked out was, well, now I know where she gets it from.
Now, let me ask you this. When your dad was belittling your coach, did your coach say something like this?
Oh, my God, who the hell cares?
Or was your coach, I like that, too.
No, they usually were completely astounded that anyone would say what was on, you know, because, I mean, this was probably 80s, early 90s, and just back then people were more mindful of their you know, P's and Q's. Like I always tell my kids today, you know, if Pop-Pop was alive today, he would have been canceled ages ago.
Exactly. Now, is it true that Gorilla Monsoon is your stepfather, or not your stepfather, your godfather?
Yes, he's one of them. Dad couldn't decide. I have like four of them, including Arn Anderson. But yes, Gorilla Monsoon and my father were best friends for many, many years. I'm still very, I still chat with Gorilla's daughter, Valerie, at least once a week. I spoke to his wife, Maureen, at Christmas. I actually talked to his grandsons, Valerie's twin boys, Joey and Gino. I talk to them a lot because they're big movie buffs and we like to talk, you know, go back and forth. And I heard the person before at the horror movies and stuff, so that I actually get into that with them. So it's nice to have family from, you know, you see wrestling these days, it's more of a business than back then it was family.
And maybe if we beg you and bribe you a little bit, maybe you can hook us up with Gorilla Monsoon's daughter.
The Valerie? Oh, yeah, you know, you guys would love her. Her and I are like two peas in a pod.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that, you know, off air, because you actually gave me your phone number, which is a really cool thing. I do appreciate it. We have Miss Heenan, Bobby the Brain Heenan's daughter, with us. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a roundtable here, and then we're going to come back to me, and I'm going to ask you a tough question. We've got about 30 minutes here. So first off, I want to introduce our first my first co-host. His name is Scott the Director Hand. We all have wrestling names here because we're a wrestling podcast. So,
that's
Scott,
right.
What do you got? Go ahead. Oh, he's got a call back. Well, I just noticed that. I'll tell you what, let's go to Matthias. I know you know Bobby the Brain Heenan. You had a manager that was kind of as cocky as Bobby the Brain, but what do you got, Matthias? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight, NSC World Tag Team, and Rudo's Promotions All-Weight Intercontinental Champion, an honorary member of the New World Order, and future NSC World Heavyweight Champion, Matthias, welcome on to my part of the program.
Can you tell he's a fan of your dad's?
Yes, your father, Bobby the Brain, was definitely one of my favorite managers ever since I, you know, first started watching wrestling and then growing up to be able to become a wrestler myself. Now, let's say, and I actually did have a couple of managers that thought they tried to be like Bobby the Brain but never came close, but that's a different story for a different time. But my main question to you would be, you said you didn't go into the business because you were married young and you became a young mother. Let's say that didn't happen. Do you see yourself being a lifetimer in the business, like just like your father?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It was what I was,
go ahead.
I felt like I always wanted to be an actress, be a performer. I was actually, I mean, most people wouldn't know this about me, but I was quite athletic in my younger days. And if I'd actually kept with it, I could have definitely had some fun there. But things took a different turn, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
That makes sense. Icon, if you could pay her a good enough amount of money, you think we could try to get her down to be my manager at BZW one show?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we could probably do that. And you know, speaking of managing, and then I'll let you ask your question in a second. You know, I don't know if you know this, Matthias, but one of the reasons why Bobby the Brain Heenan left the WWE, and he actually debuted on my birthday in 1994, January 27th, he wanted to actually be closer to his daughter. So we want to thank Jessica because we got Bobby the Brain Heenan on WCW.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Is that Jessica?
Yeah, I was just starting high school, and my dad was realizing that I was going to go off to college soon, so he wanted to spend as much time with me as he could. I graduated high school and went to the University of Alabama. Roll Tide. Sorry, that Alabama accent comes out every time I say it. Roll Tide.
Conrad Thompson would love that.
When I moved to Alabama, my parents sold their house in Tampa and moved to Atlanta. Yes, he always I was a daddy's girl, but he was a daddy's, you know, he was a daughter's daddy for sure. Guess they call him girl dads now.
Yeah, pretty much. I have a daughter of my own, so yeah, I basically get called that. But she's also a daddy's girl because I've got a son and a daughter, and the son is the mama's boy, and she's always the daddy's girl.
Yeah.
They always try to get each other in trouble, and then we're always fighting each other because the son did this, but the daughter cried for no reason, or the son did this, and the daughter's trying to get him in trouble, you know, all that good stuff.
My son's 15, and he's exactly like my dad. It's so annoying sometimes.
So you're saying there's a little brain running around?
He's 15 years old, 6 feet tall.
Oh, wow. Okay,
a big brain running around.
Yeah, and he actually does, and he's in wrestling, in high school wrestling.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Now,
he knows who his grandpa is, right?
Oh, yeah. No. I have always made sure, once my kids came along and everything, my dad was well into his cancer treatments and wasn't working anymore and wasn't really able to talk that much anymore. And so I wanted to make sure, you know, I make sure they go back and watch YouTube videos. In fact, I'll walk by one of, you know, my son's room, and he's always watching videos of, we call him Pop Pop. They're very proud of who he is. And if you saw my son, you'd be like, holy shnikes, it's Bobby Heenan. Like, blonde hair,
blue
eyes.
Well, you know, I'll tell you real quick. Now, I'm sure you've heard over the years people have told you stories about your dad. I have a story that I had interaction with your dad. I'm going to tell you this real quick. We were at the WWE was at the Fargo Civic Center. It was WWF at the time. And your father came down, and I can't remember who he was managing. I think it was the Brooklyn Brawler, I believe, because we never got any big talent here. As he was walking by, I said something to him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I said something to him. I called him a name, and he comes over and says, "Hey, Sonny, where's your parents at?" I said, "Well, they're at home." He said, "Are you sure they didn't play hide and seek with you? They're in a different state under the last name difference." I'm like, "What?" I like how your dad thought, well, yeah, my parents are playing hide and seek. I'll find them in a different state. I thought that was funny, you know.
He was so quick on his feet, and he was like that. I consider myself pretty quick, but man, he did an art form.
Very, one of his best qualities was he was so quick. He was so quick-witted, and that's why I always like to – and that's what I always like to portray myself as when I go out to the ring and I got these fans saying some of the most horrible stuff, I can snap right back at them.
Well, you do bring it on yourself, you know.
No, here's the thing. When I go out to that ring, I'm successful, and that makes everybody angry. That makes everybody jealous. They don't want to see me successful because I sit there and I insult them with the truth. They don't like to hear it, so every time I step out of the ring – or every time I step to the ring, I've either got little kids giving me the middle finger, or I've got people throwing liquids on me, or saying some of the most horrific stuff to me. But then I go in the ring, I beat up their ear, and I go home, and I get my money. People don't like that, and that's just unfortunate.
No, they don't.
And, you know, Bobby and Ray Heenan would have called them ham and eggers.
I would have called them something a lot
respectfully. But, you know, but anyway, that's just Matthias talking.
You told me I had to be PG on this show. Come on, guys.
Well, you have to. You have to.
No,
we do not have a 7-second delay.
Do you know what my husband got me for Christmas? It's actually a ham and egg t-shirt.
You know, I'll tell you, your dad and myself, and we'll kind of get into it. I'll understand if you don't want to talk about it, but we have Jessica Saltheenan with us. We got about 21 minutes. I'll understand if you don't want to talk about this, but me and your dad have a couple things in common. One, we're best friends with Jessica, which is you, and two, he and I both have heat with Tony Schiavone.
Oh.
No, I'll understand if you don't want to talk about this.
I'll talk about him, but like you said, I got to keep it PG.
Well, let me tell you about the heat I have. We can't play the thing now because Tony Schiavone on his podcast with Conrad Thompson, I sent them a little message because I didn't like how they were making fun of people that rent stuff from rental centers. Okay. And they kind of chastised me about that, and I wrote them about that. And in a couple weeks,
I've rented centers before.
Yeah, in a couple weeks, if you tune into my show, Icon Hour Plus, we'll play that clip unedited, so you'll hear what Tony Schiavone said about me, and the four-letter words he used to describe me. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, your dad had some issues with Tony Schiavone, and I've heard the podcast over the years about Tony working with your dad and how he loved your dad, but there was issues.
Did he
care to comment? He did. He actually explained that, you know, your dad and him sat down and had a conversation, and your dad said, "That's fine, give me a call, and, you know, we'll talk." And then Tony Schiavone said he never called your dad, and that fueled the fire all over again.
Well, from what I understand and from what I saw is, one, Tony Schiavone is a world-class bootlicker.
Yeah, he
only knows how to kiss butt, lick the boots, and ride the coattails of actual talent because he doesn't have any of his own.
He never reached out to my father.
He never tried to sit down with my father. In fact, Eric Bischoff had Tony Schiavone fire my father from WCW on his birthday in 2000, and they didn't even know yet, but my dad had just been diagnosed with throat cancer.
And I've got heat with Eric Bischoff, so there we go. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, I suppose.
And here's what I'm going to do, Jessica. I'll keep you posted.
I love Bacon.
But we're actually going to have Conrad Thompson on with us for a whole hour, and I'll let you know when that is. So maybe you can call in PG, of course, maybe you can through us give Tony Schiavone a piece of your mind, or in this case, a piece of your brain.
I'd love to, but. So I would love to, because my father would say, you know, stick it to him. In fact, those were my first words when I was 18 months old. A lady was like, "Oh, you're such a beautiful little girl," and I told her to stick it, and my dad was so proud. I have to think about what my mother would say. Now, Jessica, we have to keep it classy. And she tried so hard. She's put me in finishing school. She sent me. I was in a sorority. I was a debutante. I mean, if there's sports on of any kind, I lose all femininity whatsoever. I just can't help it. And the Heenan is strong in this one, I guess.
I guess you're lucky you didn't end up in the military school then, right?
Oh, my son's almost there, let me tell you.
Well, hey, you know what they say, like grandpa, like grandson, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. When they say you marry your father, girls marry their father, my husband and my dad would team up on me and or my mom, my poor mother, like I said, God bless her and God rest her soul. Thank God she's up in heaven, because my dad had been driving them crazy up there without her keeping control of him. But just with my dad, and I mean, I miss my dad more than anything in this world, but I'm kind of scared if he was still here and he had gotten hold of my 15-year-old son.
Yeah, it would definitely be with the stuff they used to talk about back then versus what you can't even do now.
Oh my Lord, he would be canceled. He would be sued for something.
Story. Like I've been a bad guy ever since I started my career 11 years ago. I've been playing nonstop. I've been a bad guy ever since I stepped foot in the ring. And you know, some people were saying, go get heat, go do what you want to do. And it's like, well, you better not tell me to do what I want to do, or else I'll be having I've actually got to ask you a question after I talk about this really quick. But when I first started, you know, it was kind of like, oh, you know, you kind of start getting your feet wet. You understand what you can and cannot do. But, like, back then, there was so many things that people did or said or whatever versus what you can now. It's like you can't even dump a bucket. You can't even dump a cup of water on somebody without getting, like, sued now. And it's like,
Vince, do you remember a wrestler back in the day called The Bully?
Absolutely.
And Vince used to have him pick on kids in the crowd and dump popcorn on them, dump drinks and whatever. Well, that kid was usually me. And if you go back and look at the tapes, it's always me. Yeah, because Vince had to pay me. It was where he didn't want to get sued. And my dad's like, oh, Jessica will do it. Give her just this, that, you know, oh, just pay her a little bit. Well, after the first time I looked around, my dad was gone. I was always left with Sensational Sherry. I don't know what the hell my dad was thinking. And I was like, well, where's my money? So my dad finds me in Vince's office.
So now we know how you pay for college?
Yeah, right.
But so when you first stated that back then it was a family, now it's more of a business. Honestly, I couldn't agree more. Even with the indie circuit nowadays, you find it more of a family because you're on the indie circuit and you're trying to build everybody up and you're going to these shows and you're seeing old friends and family and stuff like that. But once you get into the bigger companies, it's like you forget about everything and it's all focused on the business, and it's like other wrestlers have families now and they're more focused on that than, you know, the people around you. They just go do their job. Now, I mean, some people do it for, you know, for their dream, and that would be always my dream, would be making the big time. But there's nothing like going to a show in a small town where you're watching the ring crew set up and you go to the back and you see people you haven't seen for months or years, and it's like, you know, how the heck are you? You know, how's your career been going? What have you been up to? Who you've been wrestling? And it's just, it's always that welcome family. It's more of a family now. And it's like back then, you know, you had the heels drive with the heels and the face drive the faces. And, you know, like family friendships bonded and true friendships bonded way back in the day of Bobby the Brain Heenan and all those guys, versus now it's more of the indie circuit that you develop that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, for instance, speaking of still, you know, talking and people I still talk to, I'm still very close with Debbie Duggan, Hacksaw's wife.
Okay. Yep.
And her and I talk probably a couple times a week. And when my mom first got sick, she, because her daughters live in Orlando, she was here and she came by and she would always check on me and stuff. And I just, you know, she's like, because your mom and dad were always great people to me. And I always thought that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. And then my last question would be, is there any crazy story that you ever got told that every time your dad comes to mind or whatever, there's a story, like whether it be him with the member in the crowd or a moment that he did, or like something that even maybe he just did around the house?
what's one memory to you that every time you hear Bobby the Brain or Dad or whatever, what's one memory that always pops up in your head first?
And you also have to tell us about how the weasel suit is hanging in your woman cave.
Okay, so the large weasel suit, I'll start with that one. The large one is actually in a sealed box in my son's closet because he doesn't hang his clothes, so we don't have to worry about that, with some of my dad's other things. But the mini weasel suit that was mine when I was a kid that I have pictures of both my kids in, that is hanging in my, we call it my diva den. Well, we also call it something else, but again, PG show. But we call it the diva den. But I have that hanging up in the corner right now. And son of a gun, what was the other question?
When somebody mentions your dad,
yes.
What's one of your first memories that ever comes up to your head, like, immediately?
Well, the first memory, it's not really, okay, it's not my first memory. But I think the perfect moment when the merging of Bobby the Brain Heenan and Raymond Lewis Heenan merged perfectly was I was a sophomore in high school, and I was a baseball hostess for the high school baseball team because I got to be around guys in tight pants. I guess it was a thing. And so Dad came to the game with Angelo Mosca, and they pretended to be gay lovers.
Oh, man.
All right.
I'll just let you think on that.
Well, let me ask you this: How many times were you put up on Andre the Giant's shoulders?
You know what? It was probably a half a dozen times every summer, because I my mother's family is from around the Buffalo area, and in the summers is when they would do a lot of their shows in the northern, like northeast area. So we would fly into Buffalo, stay a couple of days at my mom's and my grandmother's house, and then my dad and I would get in a car, and we would drive to Philly, Rochester, Pittsburgh, you know, Erie, all the shows in the north, just him and I. And I got to hang out. That's when I got left to be babysat by Sensational Sherry. But those were some of the best times of my life. I remember, you know, going to the pool at night, going swimming after the shows, and all the boys are at the pool drinking their beers. And, I mean, I realize now a lot of them probably had a lot of problems, but I thought it was the best thing in the world back then.
Yeah, and I agree, you know, like back then when the guy, I mean, some people did have that addiction, and that was always very unfortunate, but it's always nice, especially after a show, to go meet up with the wrestlers or their families, you know, all have a small get-together, have a couple of drinks. You know, as John Moxley, a deathmatch wrestler, once said, there's no better feeling than sitting in a locker room, smoking a cigarette, half your blood gone, drinking a beer. Like, there's no better feeling. But, like, for us wrestlers nowadays in the locker room and stuff, we always, you know, we'll sit in the back and talk for a little bit at, like, while the main event's going on, or after the show we'll tear down the ring and maybe go meet up for something. I mean, not a lot of us go out and, you know, party and stuff like that, like the olden times. I mean, some of us do, some of us don't, give or take. But, yeah, it's always a pleasure, and it's always an escape, and it's always been a dream. So I would, even if I don't make it to the big time, it's always been an incredible journey along the way, each and every, you know, step of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a funny story you mentioned about going out after a show. I had just turned 21. It was a couple months before I met my husband. I had just turned 21, and I was out in L.A. with my parents, and they had just done a show at the Staples Center. I think that's what it was called back then. And we went back to the hotel, and so I was 21. I had my ID, and I was, you know, ordering White Russians because you couldn't taste the liquor, which was a bad idea.
Absolutely.
So it was such a bad idea that Scott Hall had to bridal-style carry me up to my parents' room and pretty much handed me over to my dad and says, here you go. So, yeah, that was my first way into going out with my dad.
And that's just incredible. Like, you know, you got to be with those kind of guys, you know, Scott Hall and all. I mean, it's just that's just
I got to go out with Kurt Hennig.
The experience
like my big
must
brother.
Be just incredible.
Yeah,
all
Kurt Hennig was such
incredible.
A close friend. I still talk to his wife, Lanise, too.
That's awesome.
Jessica Salt, I guess you're on 89.1 Kansas FM. We got about 5 minutes here left with Jessica. And now, Jessica, I know this would be an odd request, but, you know, we do like to take care of our fans here, and those that like our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, and 89.1 Kansas FM, and do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. Do you think you'd be willing to send us a few autographs for giveaways?
Sure. If you think someone would want them, then absolutely.
I guarantee it. As a matter of fact, if you could sign one to the icon, I'm going to put it up on my man cave wall.
Okay, I can do that.
All right. So we got about 5 minutes left, you know, and, you know, we like I say, I grew up, to be honest with you, I grew up despising your father. Of course, that was his job, you know. But as I got older and I heard stories, I realized, you know, how sad it was that, you know, when he passed away. And the fact that the guy with the biggest, fastest-talking mouth in wrestling history got throat cancer is like, that just doesn't even sound possible.
I know, right? He tried to keep going. It definitely, it sucked when, I think it was like, 2007 when he lost the complete ability to talk. So like in 2003 at the Hall of Fame ceremony, you could still, or maybe it was 2004. I was in that video. You can see he could talk, but he was like slurring his words. It's not because he was drunk. But, I mean, he probably was, but it's not because of that. It's because it was the way his jaw had fused. It was causing him to like bite his tongue every time he talked. So, you know, he went through his moments of despair. I mean, definitely, I could never imagine what he was going through having the life he did and then having it taken away. But I will say this, Dad, he never left. He was still Bobby. He would find a way to still, you know, completely mortify you or humiliate you or offend you in writing. If he couldn't talk to you like that, you know, he'd find a way. It was Dad's way of doing things. Like he used to like every night him and my mom would go have a beer on the back porch. But by the end he was on a feeding tube. So my mom would just put the beer down the feeding tube.
Smart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I can just imagine though. Yeah. And I can just imagine though your dad, even though he wouldn't be able to talk, I can imagine him still pulling ribs on people.
Oh, he was still so, I love my dad more than anything on the face. He was still so annoying.
Well, like, and all he said,
his
volume.
and he got louder. We're like, no, you don't have to get louder. We can hear you fine, because his hearing was going. And we're like, Dad, you're so loud.
Well, we have Jessica Salz, our guest here on 89.1 Kansas FM. We got about 3 or 4 minutes here left with Jessica. You know, if our fans want to check you out and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Okay, so I'm going to date myself. I have a Facebook at Jessica Salt, so you'll find me there. I have an Instagram at Mrs. Salt. And I will be starting a TikTok if we still have TikTok around. I'm actually starting a new little segment where I take Dad on adventures, because I have my dad's ashes interred in his bronze wrestling boots from 1982.
Wow.
Wow.
And they're sitting right next to me, actually. And so my husband and I, we do a lot of kayak fishing. And so I was like, you know what? Dad needs to come with us the next time we go to the kayak. And then we found a nude beach one. So I was like, oh, Dad would have loved this nude beach. Maybe we need to take Dad on an adventure to a nude, you know, just stupid things like that. And then my husband's like, well, you need to do like a TikTok or something. You know, he's like, you've always wanted to. I was like, ah, I'm too old for that. But my kids have talked me into it, and my 12-year-old daughter is going to be my editor and producer, apparently.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, we only have a few minutes here. You know, I wish we could have got to my other question, unless you can, talk about it real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
What it was like when your husband, your boyfriend at the time, had to ask Bobby the Brain Heenan to marry his daughter?
That would be a question you'd have to ask John one day, and you might actually want to talk to John one day because his perspective on it's very different than I think most people's, because him and my dad ended up being best friends. And
well,
so,
I'll tell you what, I can imagine that your dad, after he said, okay, son, you can marry my daughter, but you must bring home $1 million and you must have a house and a car waiting for her. I can just imagine your dad doing something like
no,
that.
No, he pretty much said, you've now asked for her hand in marriage. She's yours now. There are no returns.
I was going to say, now you should say you got to deal with her now.
Yeah, and he also told him, whenever in doubt, just say yes, dear.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Jessica, you have been so wonderful. We do appreciate everything you do. Thank you for being on with us. I wish we had more time, but we would like to have you on again. And if you could bring your significant other with you, the big grandson of Bobby the Brain, we'd love to have you guys all on again.
Oh, yeah, no, they'd love that.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jessica, I will send you the autograph information, anything you can send us, even if it's, even if you have like an old, some old pictures of your dad that you'd be willing to part with that we can give away as a deluxe listening thing. That would be awesome. But we love you very much. We'll always love you, and we miss your dad to this day. I wish he was still here with us because there was no one that could crack a joke like him.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys on that one.
Or is one thing that your dad once said, don't drink and drive because you might spill it. And like the old lady says to the Peep and Tom, thanks for looking in. Thank you, Jessica. We love you very much. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. We love you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jessica.
All right, bye.
Well, hey, what do you think of that one, Matthias? We got a couple minutes before our theme song hits real quick here. Next week, same time, same channel. You got to check our Facebook page to find out who's going to be on next week. We got three guests scheduled. We have an NBA basketball legend coming on with us, as a matter of fact. So check that out. And remember, it's not goodbye. It's just goodnight. Love each other. Care for each other. Always be safe. And we'll see you back here next week. And you'll be here next week, Matthias, right?
We'll see, depending on where I am in the wrestling world.
All right. Well, we love everybody. Take care, be safe, and we will see you all next week right here, same time, same channel. Join us.
You think you know me?
Independent Public Radio for Fargo Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com. Thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM. We are listener-supported radio, so the programming you hear on our station is funded by our members and these local and area businesses.
The Joe Irby Law Firm is a proud sponsor of 89.1 Ken's FM. We're located at 403 Center Avenue, Suite 409 in Moorhead, Minnesota. We focus on business startups, business litigation, criminal defense, family matters, and contract writing and review. More information is available by calling 1-866-933-4544 or on the website at joeirbylaw.com. That's joeirbylaw.com. The Joe Irby Law Firm, where we take sides, yours.
You're listening to 89.1 Ken's FM, KNNV, Holly, Fargo, Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo, Moorhead, and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
For Feature Story News in Singapore, I'm Patrick Fox. South Korea's military says neighboring North Korea has fired a suspected intermediate-range ballistic missile into the sea off its east coast. Pyongyang is pushing to advance its weapons aimed at remote U.S. targets in the Pacific. Chris Gilbert reports.
Any time that a missile is launched from North Korea in Japan's direction, there is an immediate emergency meeting of cabinet officials and the prime minister. They usually log a protest through the embassy in Beijing, which they have also done on this occasion, and strongly condemned the launch, which again they have done on this occasion. The UN Security Council has been unable to put more sanctions on North Korea due to China and Russia vetoing them at the Security Council level for the last couple of years. They are saying that they are doing so because the United States and its allies, such as Japan, have not held up their end of the bargain to balance sanctions with humanitarian assistance for the people of North Korea.
The U.S. says Israeli officials have agreed to take its concerns about a possible invasion of Rafah in Gaza into consideration following a virtual meeting. But it's unclear whether Israel will delay or cancel its planned attack on the southern Gaza city, where hundreds of thousands of Palestinians are sheltering. Benji Hire reports.
The Biden administration says an operation in Rafah would exacerbate the humanitarian disaster in the war-torn Palestinian territory. Israel insists its offensive must continue south to eliminate the threat posed by the terror group Hamas. Despite fears over a Rafah incursion and the growing death toll in Gaza, the White House last week authorized the transfer of billions of dollars in bombs and fighter jets to Israel.
Authorities are planning to open a temporary alternate channel in the U.S. city of Baltimore to allow some marine traffic to enter the port. Cleanup efforts are underway after a cargo ship collided with the Francis Scott Key Bridge last week, blocking access to the busy cargo terminal. But the operation is being complicated by fast-moving waters and dangerous conditions underneath the surface. Salvage experts say clearing debris in the Patapsco River is likely to take weeks. Sally Patterson reports.
Over the weekend, Maryland Governor Wes Moore emphasized reopening the Port of Baltimore is a national issue, not a local one. Calling on Congress to approve funding for the cleanup effort, he said the collapse would affect workers and businesses from Kentucky to Tennessee. An initial $60 million in aid has already been granted by federal officials, but the total project could cost more than $1 billion in total. Officials say they're preparing to open an alternate channel near the collapsed bridge.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking today at major protests in Israel, where thousands of people took to the country's streets demanding the resignation of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the calling of early elections. They occurred over the weekend and increased the pressure on the Israeli leader. Noga Tarnopolsky is a freelance reporter in Jerusalem and says the protests were the most substantial since the October 7th attacks by Hamas on Israel.
Over 100,000 people surrounding the Israeli parliament in Jerusalem and solidarity protests all around the country. The government hasn't really responded. There were a few kind of arrows shot last night. Some ministers actually accused these protesters of being pro-Hamas, including family members who've lost people in Gaza in the fighting and those who still have hostages held by Hamas. In the past week, there have been more and more reports that Netanyahu himself is refusing to really move forward in the negotiations that could lead to hostages released in exchange for Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails.
But despite growing cracks in U.S. support for Netanyahu, some American government officials continue to indicate it is Hamas that is blocking the release of hostages, not the Israeli authorities. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Here are the headlines again. South Korea's military says neighboring North Korea has fired a suspected intermediate-range ballistic missile into the sea off its east coast. The U.S. says Israeli officials have agreed to take its concerns about a possible invasion of Rafah in Gaza into consideration following a virtual meeting. And authorities are planning to open a temporary alternate channel in the U.S. city of Baltimore to allow submarine traffic to enter the port. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.